Now that he could see into the place, it looked more private than ever. He went in very solemnly, looking about him. Everything was very quiet inside. Even the fountain, which rose near the middle of the garden, made only the faintest sound. The lovely smell was all around him. It was a happy place, but very serious. He knew which was the right tree at once, partly because it stood in the very center, and partly because the great silver apples with which it was loaded shone so and cast a light of their own down on the shadowy places where the sunlight did not reach. He walked straight across to it, picked an apple, and put it in the breast pocket of his jacket. But he couldn't help looking at it and smelling it before he put it away.
It smells delicious. I wonder if it would be wrong to taste one.
To Diggory's surprise, there on a branch above his head, a wonderful bird was roosting. I say roosting because it seemed almost asleep. Perhaps, but not quite. The tiniest slit of one eye was open. The bird was larger than an eagle, its breast saffron, its head crested with scarlet, and its tail purple. Diggory decided then not to eat one of the apples. Things like "do not steal" were, I think, hammered into boys' heads a good deal harder in those days than they are now. Diggory was just turning to go back to the gates when he got a terrible shock.
Go on, boy. Eat one.
It was the witch. She stood only a few yards away and was just throwing away the core of an apple which she'd eaten. The juice was darker than you would expect and had made a horrid stain round her mouth. Diggory guessed at once that she must have climbed over the wall, and he began to see that there might be some sense in that last line about getting your heart's desire and getting despair along with it. For the witch looked stronger and prouder than ever, and even, in a way, triumphant. But her face was deadly white. White as salt.
Ah! Quick! Quick! Polly! Get up, Fledge! Polly! Fledge!
Diggory ran for the gates as hard as he could. The witch was after him. As soon as he was out, the gates closed behind him of their own accord. That gave him the lead, but not for long. By the time he'd reached the others, the witch had climbed the wall or vaulted over it and was close behind him again.
The witch!
That's right, child.
Stay where you are. I still have the ring. Don't come an inch nearer or we'll vanish.
Foolish boy, why do you run from me? I mean you no harm. If you do not stop and listen to me now, you will miss some knowledge that would have made you happy all your life.
Well, I don't want to hear it, thanks.
I know what errand you have come on, but it was I who was close beside you in the woods last night and heard all your counsels. You have plucked the fruit in the garden yonder. You have it in your pocket now, and you are going to carry it back, untasted, to the lion. For him to eat, for him to use. You simpleton, do you know what that fruit is? It is the apple of youth, the apple of life. I know, for I have tasted it, and I feel already such changes in myself that I know I shall never grow old or die. Eat it, boy, eat it. And you and I will both live forever and be king and queen of this whole world, or of your world, if we decide to go back there.
No, thanks. I don't know that I care much about living on and on after everyone I know is dead. I'd rather live in ordinary time and die and go to heaven.
Good for you, Diggory.
But what about this mother of yours, whom you pretend to love so?
What's she got to do with it?
Do you not see, fool, that one bite of that apple would heal her? You have it in your pocket. We are here by ourselves and the lion is far away. Use your magic and go back to your own world. A minute later, you can be at your mother's bedside, giving her the fruit. 5 minutes later, you will see the colour coming back to her face. She will tell you the pain is gone. Soon she will tell you she feels stronger. Then she will fall asleep. Think of that. Hours of sweet, natural sleep without pain, without drugs. Next day, everyone will be saying how wonderfully she has recovered. Soon she will be quite well again. All will be well again. Your home will be happy again. You will be like other boys.
Oh, Diggory.
What has the lion ever done for you that you should be his slave? What can he do to you once you are back in your own world? And what would your mother think if she knew that you could have taken away her pain and given her back her life and saved your father's heart from being broken, and that you wouldn't? That you'd rather run errands for a wild animal in a strange world that is no business of yours?
I don't think he is a wild animal. I don't know.
Then he is something worse. Look what he has done to you already. Look how heartless he has made you. That is what he does to everyone who listens to him. Cruel, pitiless boy. You would let your own mother die rather than...
Oh, shut up! Do you think I don't see? But I promised.
Ah, but you didn't know what you were promising, did you? And no one here can prevent you.
Mother herself wouldn't like it. Awfully strict about keeping promises and not stealing and all that sort of thing. She'd tell me not to do it, quick as anything, if she was here.
But she need never know. You wouldn't have to tell her how you got the apple. Your father need never know. No one in your world need know anything about this whole story. You needn't take the little girl back with you, you know.
What?
You could go without her. And no one in your world would be the wiser.
You very nearly had me there.
What do you mean?
All that nonsense you were saying about my mother. You almost had me convinced. But to suggest that I should leave Polly behind suddenly made me realise who and what you are. Good for you, Diggs. Quick, let's get away. Now. Hurry. Up onto Fledge.
No!
Wait! Go on, Fletch, go!
Right!
Go then, fools! Think of me, boy, when you lie old and weak and dying, and remember how you threw away the chance of endless youth. It won't be offered you!